So this week I have with me Bernadette Schwert, who's a author, speaker.
What else have I got on this list? You've actually done quite a few. Digital marketing strategist I have here. You've been a teacher, a reporter, a trainer. I wrote down a few things. Although this is unplanned, I thought I'd just make a note because, you know, who has a list of titles that big?
Well, I guess it's the quintessential portfolio career, Tony.
Right, okay. So you've you can put your hand up in any kind of situation and say, hey, I can do that.
Well, I think the banner, you know, the overarching banner, if there was one for my career, it's communication and it's words and it's presenting. So the written word, the spoken word, I guess, are my worlds. And all the things that I've done in the advertising agency and the training and the lecturing, the writing, it all comes back to the written or the spoken word. So I guess if I had to put a banner around it, that would be my, you know, my world.
So that's interesting because when I was thinking about this session and the books that you had written, and I was obviously involved in those to a small degree, but how to, I mean, the first one was Secrets of an Online Entrepreneurs, of Online Entrepreneurs, and then How to Build an Online Business. So that first one, which kind of got you going, was that something that you had thought about, or was it almost like a, almost like an entrepreneur where it comes up with this brainwave of an idea and you go, oh, that's what I want to do? How did that come about?
It really started as many businesses do with an MVP. You know, it was, I was having my own online business. It was the School of Copywriting and I was selling online courses in copywriting. And, you know, when you're doing something, you think there's got to be an easier way to do this. So you look at other people and what they're doing. And I thought, well, why don't I just ask some people who are doing it really well how they're doing it? And those interviews, which were essentially for my education, you know, the early days, was just, you know, can I buy you coffee and just share some stories with me, turned into this video series for Fairfax newspapers. And that became a stage show because councils came to me and they said, we really like that content. We like the people you're interviewing. Do you think you could put it on the stage and put the entrepreneurs on stage and you could interview them? And we make it a bit of an, you know, a networking event for our stakeholders. So that's kind of the stage version. And then as a result of that, Wiley Publishing were involved in one of those stage events and they said, this would make a really good book. And they didn't know that I'd always wanted to write a book. So there was these two lovely mergers of ideas with their, them wanting that content and me wanting to write. And that's where I took it to the next level and started interviewing people like you and all the big names in online business. And so it originally started with just this passion to know a little bit more for my own purposes. And that's where book one came in, and then that went well, and then book two came because, you know, things have moved in the 3 years since we spoke. You know, things have really changed. And what was, I guess, you know, getting a website up and trying to get some customers has become standard. A lot of people can do that, but how do you really grow it? And how do you really deal with the disruption that's occurring? So that's kind of the, I guess, the trajectory of how the book came to be.
So given that you had done that, given that you had had all those events where entrepreneurs were coming in, did the actual writing of the book end up being a lot different to what you thought? Like, as you started to condense all that content into something that people could consume and use, how did that go?
That was a really funny story in that, and I don't think Wiley know this, so I'm probably revealing something they're not aware of, but when I got the job to write the book, I thought it was going to be transcripts of the interviews. And I thought it was going to be quite an easy win, you know, make the interview, top and tail it, book done. And when I met with the publisher at the time, and I had about 4 weeks left to write the book, she said, how's it all going? I said, it's going great. I said, the transcripts are all done. And she looked at me, she said, what transcripts? I said, you know, the transcripts, the book. She said, oh, no, no, we're wanting your take, you know, on the entrepreneurs, your take on the strategies, your perspective. And of course I, of course that's what it was. Of course that's what the brief was. Because my first book, I didn't want to muck it up and lose the relationship. So I went home and I remember being really panicked because I thought, I got 4 weeks to write 70,000 words. So I rang my dear friend who's a PhD, written many books, she's an academic, and I said, Heather, I'm in trouble. I said, how am I going to write 70,000 words in 4 weeks? And she laughed. She said, oh, it takes me 3 years to write that. That's a PhD and you've got to do it in 4 weeks. So I put everything aside and it was actually the best thing ever because what that forced me to do was to write from the heart. So instead of making other people's words and just sort of putting them forward, it's like, well, what's my perspective on this? And I just wrote my experiences, you know, and overlaid all the research that I had and put it through my voice. And I think that's, it was a real lesson that sometimes you just got to write from the heart. Don't try and, you know, do what you think the market wants. I just had no time to think about it. I had to write what I thought was interesting. Mm-hmm. And the jokes and the my perspective and my experiences that I didn't think would be that interesting to a market have proved to be quite interesting. They've liked that humorous approach, you know. And so that's a funny story about how it came to be. And I just had to write like crazy.
Wow. I mean, that is very entrepreneurial if I think about some of the things that I've done in my career in terms of, you know, we were in a failing chat software business. And in the early 2000s, and I asked a web designer, you know, how do you get to the top of Google? Because Google had been going for a few years, and he told me what to do. We got to the top of Google, and it was a couple of months later. I was talking to this lady about getting her to use our chat software, and she said to me, "Look, I'd love to chat to people. I just need more people coming to our website." And I said, "I can get you to the top of Google." And so give me a proposal. So I did for $500 and got it to the top of Google. Anyway, we were in such dire straits because the dot-com crash was in the early 2000s and we weren't even paying ourselves a salary. And I said to the largest independent car rental company in New Zealand, would they like to use their chat software? And a similar conversation occurred. Yes, that sounds interesting, but we need more traffic to our website. I can get you to the top of Google. Give me a proposal. So this time, instead of putting one in for $500, I put one in for $18,000. You know, the guy said yes. And so I was just like, oh my God, you know, what are we going to do? And so it's a little bit like that where you get given an opportunity and you just go for it.
Yeah.
And there's probably a lot of stories from people that you met where it kind of all happened in that vortex where you just, you're shooting through to the other side. Yeah. Is that what you heard? And did you hear stories about that often?
Yeah, absolutely. And it is that sometimes, as you said, Tony, that you're going down a path and you think this is the right product, but the market want this. And so you keep banging your head against it. You think, but people want that. Give them that. And I think the story that comes to mind is Selby Acoustics. Sean O'Brien, do you know him?
No.
It's an accessories company. They do cables and stuff for TVs. And he's got a great story in that he was selling TVs online, a bit like Kogan. And he was thinking, you know, this is easy money. And so this is back in early 2000s as well. And he realized pretty quickly it's really heavy to ship. It breaks down a lot. It requires servicing and shipping to Perth, you know, from Melbourne. It's expensive. But what he noticed was that the cables and the accessories that go with it also need to be sold. Mm-hmm. So when he realized all the headaches involved with the big shipping of TVs, he thought, why don't I just sell the cables? And for him, that was his aha moment, that that's what I should be doing. So he kind of, you know, realized that's the business he's in.
Amazing.
And so all those, I think what we're both talking about is it's getting started, isn't it? You had the chat software that led to this, the Google to Booktopia, etc. Mm-hmm. And I think it's that concept of just trying something. And having to do it when the sort of rubber hits the road. For me, it was writing the book in 4 weeks. For you, it was having to find out how to do that proposal for $500 or the $18,000. So I think it's biting off as much as you can chew.
But it's interesting for me because there's, you know, for anyone that's sitting in and listening to this, when those moments present themselves, it's not one to shy away from because on the other side there's a pot of gold. And I think it's really important for anyone that hasn't had that opportunity, and as they come, rather than going into fear and going into, I can't do that, or that's, like, you might still think that, but doesn't matter. You still focus on, well, let's just give it a crack. And you never know what comes forward. Because if you would have gone back to them and said, I really cannot do that, I can't write that many words, or even if you didn't tell them, but they, you know, the time expired and I'm sorry, I haven't got it done, and you're stressed, and then you've got nothing. So it's a really, really good lesson, really good lesson.
And I think your background comes into play. I believe nothing is wasted. I mean, you mentioned all the list of things that I've done, and you think, well, how are they connected? But the skills you gain from various experiences play into others, because when I had that 4 weeks to write the book, it reminded me of my acting days where, you know, things go wrong on stage or you don't have enough time for rehearsal, but the show must go on and you have to do it. And that training of, you've got to work through the night. You've got to, you know, really pull out all stops to make this happen. I think that was really good training for me, and also in advertising. Same with the campaigns. If there's an ad running in the Sydney Morning Herald, you have to fill the space. Yeah, the white space cannot be shown. And so, and or you're up for $50,000. So all that sort of pressure, and I use that word a bit lightly, but that sort of pressure to deliver no matter what, I think was great training for me.
Mm. So when you talked before just about the first and the second book, without, you know, someone may listen to what you said and think things have moved on. So does that mean that already book one for you is old school and superseded, or can someone still read that and get all the value there? Or is it really all now in book two because we have moved on so much? Just explain a little bit more about that.
Yeah, the books are quite different, and I do think book one has got merit still, absolutely, because the stories were the personal stories of, like, as you mentioned, how you got started. And those stories don't change. They're evergreen, mm-hmm. and the principles remain relevant. And so I think people who are interested in more the aspirational side of online business and entrepreneurship will absolutely still get value from book one. And book two is more the how-to manual. So if you're now sold on being an online entrepreneur, if you're sold on building a business and using online as a, you know, a tool to amplify, then I think book two is very much the nuts and bolts. It's a step by step. And the way I did that was I looked at all the research and all the interviews that I'd had, and I saw there was commonalities in how people built those businesses. And I broke them up into a 5-step process. So it's just a map, if you like. You know, it's a bit of a guideline. So I still think book one is very relevant for those who are just looking to dip their toe and to see how others got started.
Mm-hmm. So that 5-step process you just mentioned, did that, because you do go into the format or the detail of that in book two, how did that come about? Did you just go, I've got to try and come up with a 5-step, and then you tried to find the words, or did it just kind of emerge out of all the, you know, the mess of conversations and notes? How did that all come about?
It's a great question, Tony, because it was a mess. I'll be really honest. Any creative process, and I do believe that building a business is a creative process, absolutely. But for the book, in that creative sense, I had so much material. I've been collecting, you know, media clippings for a year. Anytime I saw a story that appealed to me or a growth of a business that was a little bit different, I tore it out, put it in a box. So when the time came to write it, and I also had the interviews with you and other people, I had the research from the ORIAs, you know, the Online Retailers Industry Awards. So I was a judge for them, and I saw all the, you know, the detail that those award applications went into, and I just emphasized I didn't, you know, reveal any, you know, confidential stories. But what I saw was the same software got used by a lot of people, the same CRM programs, the same web builder platforms, the same recommendation engines, the same A/B testing platforms, the same user testing software. I saw the same names keep coming up, mm-hmm. and I thought, I think there's a bit of a club here. You know, if you're in the business, you know what to use, especially if you've been around for a while like you. And I thought, wouldn't that be helpful to other people getting started to know that you can use all this software, but you could use this because this is what everyone else is using. So that was really, I guess, part of the mapping. So when I had all this material, tons of it, and I spent a lot of time thinking, what's the best way to structure this? And the structure was really tricky because I thought, do I, you know, go down this track or that track? And I thought, no, just keep it really simple. You've got to have 5 chapters. I sort of went backwards. Start with 5 chapters and what would be the logical 5 topics that you'd cover. And I knew marketing had to be one. I knew that, you know, the MVP had to be one. And I thought, well, I've got to come up with another M, you know, mindset. So it took a long time to put it that way, to structure it correctly. And there's no correct way. It's just a way. And that was my way. And it kind of has worked out well because I do think you've got to get your ideas clear about what you want. And you've been very strong on that. But what do you want from your business? What are you selling? What business are you in? So all that mindset stuff has to be established first. And once you've got that, you think about, well, how do I get the MVP, a little basic thing out there to test it, get people trying it, giving you feedback.
For those that, you know, who aren't in the know, who are listening, MVP stands for?
The minimum viable product.
Yep.
So it's just a very basic version of what you've got, mm-hmm. getting it out to the market quickly so that you can test it and getting feedback and then building up from there. So the third step was the momentum. How do you actually take the MVP and all the lessons and build that up into a website or whatever other, you know, piece you're going to create. And then the fourth step was the marketing. So you've got all that happening. It's sort of functioning, but maybe you're not getting traffic, you're not getting sales, you're not getting found on Google. How do you market that entity? And, of course, that's a massive topic. So I had to break that down into just some key ideas, which was content marketing and social influencer marketing. So I just wanted to, because I do think, you know, content's my world as a copywriter, and I've seen the influx of inquiries. People want content. They want case studies, they want videos, they want blogs, they want infographics. You know, this, we're drowning in content. So I thought, well, how do we, you know, how do I just share that idea? And social influencer marketing is very powerful too. So that was step four. And step five was more motivation in terms of how do you keep yourself motivated? Because, you know, it's a marathon, isn't it, running a business? And also, how do you motivate others to do business with you? So you've talked about, you know, how do you attract good people? And they won't just come because the money. They want to know about culture. They want to know about you, you know, what you bring, you know, to them as an employer. So I talked about public speaking as a way of communicating your ideas to the world, and also about, you know, just being able to persuade through words and the written and the spoken word. How do you get people to see your way of view?
Mm-hmm. So that you've... Book one, is it a trilogy? Is it a Lord of the Rings? So is there something else? Like you, so you've worked out, you read the first one and you go, oh, yeah, I wouldn't mind doing that. And the second one gives you more of a recipe. And the third one, what is beyond that? Because you do all those things, you get up and running. So what is next?
Yeah, I think it's a bit like when you talk to a mother who's just had a baby and she goes, I'm done right now. You know, I'm done with that. But I do know in a couple of years... I'll definitely come back if Wiley will have me, because I love writing. I get so much joy from it, you know, just being in that bubble and you're totally immersed in the words and the world and working it out. So I have a great passion for it. I don't know what the topic will be. I don't know if it'll be in the trilogy side. My gut feeling says there's something in the mindfulness arena right now. Mm-hmm. I might just take an aspect of the business, you know, the businesses that I've looked at, and just think about, well, going to doing a deep dive into a particular topic. Because what I've done with this book is it's quite broad. You know, there's lots of different topics that you could write a whole book about, just about marketing, just about mindset. So I don't know. I'm teaching Carlton Football Club at the moment, meditation. Hmm. And I find it very relaxing to teach that. And I get a great deal of joy from it, because I see these young men who maybe have never been exposed to that world of mindfulness, and I think it's really valuable for them in the role that they're in. And so, you know, that might be something I touch on later. I don't know. I'm still open to it.
How's that gone in their season thus far? Are they
not very well?
Okay,
so they're very relaxed.
They're very relaxed. People are running past, scoring goals.
And then, no, I'll be really honest. They're a very young team, you know, right. and everyone knew that they might have some struggles because the list is so young. And I'm a big AFL tragic anyway, so I just love being part of a football team. Mm, I just find it really enjoyable. And they're beautiful young men. I'm really impressed by them.
Yeah, so you're laying the seeds for a future flag.
I hope so. Yeah. It's got to come sometime.
That's right. Well, it's been a while.
Who do you barrack for?
The Swannies, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's interesting. So what we might do now is we can... I'll put my glasses on so I can see how long. Oh, yeah, definitely 20 minutes. So let's call it a wrap on the first week, and we'll just go over to week two.
Thanks for listening to the Booktopia podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on SoundCloud and iTunes. And if your eyeballs need a workout, check us out on YouTube at Booktopia TV. And don't forget, for all books featured on this episode and all episodes of the Booktopia podcast, head to Booktopia, Australia's local bookstore, at www.booktopia.com.au. Thanks for listening.